Many people in our food community have been seriously impacted by Superstorm Sandy, and our hearts go out to them. At HRN, we've been covering these stories since the storm hit. To learn more, visit our website at www.heritageradionetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking Turkey Day 2012 and vintage cakes. But first up, the Twinkie. Oh my gosh, everyone has been talking about the death of the Twinkie. The Twinkie didn't really die, but the company Hostess that makes the classic dessert Twinkie actually went bankrupt last week. So it's been all in the news. Everyone's parodied the whole thing. And I must say, I have not had a Twinkie in, I can't even say how long. I guess 15, 20 years. I have not gone into a convenience store, grocery store, and bought a Twinkie, but I almost did this weekend. I think I probably still need to do that. But I did see actually today as I was prepping for the show that a company in Georgia and some other company in the South, they're thinking about buying the brand, so the Twinkie may not be dead. So all you folks who are in love with the Twinkie, not only the Twinkie, Hostess made a bunch of other dessert snacks. I forget the name of the Ding Dongs or whatever, the two with the black ones with the little white squiggly things. They're dying too if they don't buy the company. But I must say, I kind of sort of did have a Twinkie. Shout out to Nomnivores, a.k.a. Emily Hanhan. A few months back, she brought to Happy Hour a box of desserts from Betty Bakery. Betty Bakery is a bakery that's located in Borum Hill, Brooklyn on Atlantic Avenue. And they make essentially a dessert called the Twink. And it's really, really good. Totally, it's better than the Twinkie. All wholesome, whole ingredients. So now that the Twinkie is going out of style, I'm like, oh, I need to get down to Betty Bakery. So shout out Emily and Betty Bakery. And I'm sure there are tons of other bakeries around the country that are recreating the Twinkie. So hopefully it'll come back. All right, folks, we have a lot to chat today, so we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk vintage cakes. Keep listening.
You're listening to Loveless Child by Shadowbox on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks. So, you know, from now until the end of the year, you can get a pass. You can have all the desserts that your heart desires. And on the phone today to talk vintage cakes is Julie Richardson. She's the owner of Baker and Spice in Portland, Oregon, and the author of Rustic Fruit Desserts, and now her latest book, Vintage Cakes. Julie, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So I have to ask you, you own a very popular bakery in Portland. What is it like right now? Is it pandemonium in the shop?
It completely is. I'm actually hiding in the corner so I can hear you. I just told everyone they had to be quiet for the next 10 minutes. But it's super fun. It's just roasting pumpkins, fluting pie crusts. You know, it's just the energy is amazing. We'll make a lot of pie in the next 3 days.
Yes. Yeah. You and a ton of other people all around the country. So your definition of vintage cakes, or the word vintage when you're talking desserts, how would you define that?
Well, vintage cakes to me is memories. So, you know, it could be cakes that go back 100 years, or it could be a cake that is your childhood memory that might have only been 20 years ago, the Watergate cake, or, you know, the cherry chip cake. That's something from the 60s. But then some people, you know, it's what grandma used to make and have sitting in her on her kitchen counter when you would come to visit. It's just all about memories.
Speaking of memories, I didn't have the, I don't remember anyone in my family making a cake roll. I did.
The roll, the cake roll. So it is my quest to bring back the cake roll. It is so beautiful and it's so easy to slice when you bring it to the table and you just whack off a slice for every person. And people are afraid of them, but there's no need to be afraid. You just take a deep breath and you roll that thing right up and it's a beauty.
So what do you think the key is to mastering the cake roll? Because I'm like, okay, I need to make this. This is one of the things I'm like, I need to conquer this. What's the key?
For rolling a cake?
Yes.
So the key to rolling up a cake roll is to definitely make sure you haven't overbaked it. So if you're going to go anywhere, just go a minute less on your time. Really, really watch the baking of it. And then, because it needs to be moist in order to roll up smoothly, definitely, you know, just reading the directions and feeling confident that you can do it. Because what you do is you just take a deep breath and you just roll it up. And I roll it up using my parchment paper, so I make sure I have a piece of parchment paper on my half-sheet tray, and I use that parchment paper to guide my roll. And then the beauty of a roll is that you can always cover it up with frosting or whipped cream or whatever, and no one will ever know if it cracked or broke a little bit or whatever. It's amazing, and they're so fun. And after you do your first one, you're just like, oh my gosh, I got this.
Oh, okay.
No going back.
Oh, I'm excited to try that. So I love in your book, I'm a Southerner, so I love that you have so many recipes of desserts that I consider Southern, particularly like the stack cake, which is definitely from, I can't remember, is that from Appalachian country?
Appalachian. It was a wedding cake, so when you would go to an Appalachian wedding, you would bring, every guest would bring a layer of the cake, and it was up to the bride's parents or family to layer it up, and they would make some sort of apple compote or plum compote or whatever fruit was around, and they would layer it up. So if you invited a lot of people to your wedding, that could be a pretty tall cake.
So
traditionally, pretty thin layers and a spicy, you know, some cinnamon, a little, you know, cloves, just a nice little spice cake that was layered up with fruit.
Okay, it's so beautiful. Always fruit.
Pardon?
Always fruit in the layers.
Yes, because it's something that was around. It wasn't apples were usually used because they were inexpensive and they were easy to come by.
And then you have another one. You have the red velvet cake and the caramel cake, which I find that a lot of people kind of shy away from caramel cakes. I have no idea why.
Well, you're from the South. Of course not. grew up with this.
Exactly. I mean, people here in New York City now, they're always on the quest to definitely find the caramel cake and the best red velvet cake, which is really hard. You really have to go to someone's kitchen or pick up your book.
There you go. You can make it yourself. The caramel cake, I think people shy away from it just because of the word caramel. They're afraid of you know, making the caramel, cooking sugar. It's a little scary, but it really isn't if you follow directions and just wear some good hot pads so you're not, you don't burn yourself, and it's super fun. It's fun to cook sugar, and just to know all the, we have some little hints in the book on how all the little ins and outs of cooking sugar, so not to be afraid.
I love that in some of your head notes in your book in the beginning, your chapters, you use words that I would consider vintage, like haste. I remember growing up hearing people say, make haste, meaning hurry up, go quickly. I don't have that much time to do anything. And you actually have a chapter called, is it called Hastily?
Hasty Cakes. It's called Hasty Cakes. And this is the first chapter in the book, and it's a go-to chapter when you only have 20 minutes to put something together for your child's bake sale the next morning. You're told as they go to bed that they need to bring something, and you're like, oh, what do I do? You turn to this chapter, and there's quick, easy desserts that are super scrumptious that you can just quickly whip out and send on their way or put on the table. Some of them are made in the pans that you actually present them in, so it's easy cleanup, which we all love. So, yeah.
And perfect for people who are looking for, you know, a last-minute Thanksgiving something to make.
What should they make?
This chapter is perfect if someone is looking for ideas at last minute for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. It's the Ozark pudding cake would be a perfect end of the Thanksgiving meal. It's made with pears and cranberries and almonds, and you bake it in a cast iron skillet, and you just bring it to the table in the skillet, warm from the oven. It's super easy, and you can put it in the oven before you start Thanksgiving dinner. Sit down for dinner, and it'll be ready when you're all done.
There you have it. Julie, thank you so much for coming
on
Hot Grease.
Thank you, Nicole. Thanks for asking. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy baking and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listeners, if you want to follow Julie on Twitter, you can find her at Baker and Spice. We're going to take a short break and come back with more Thanksgiving 2012.
You're listening to Lung by Iggy Dean on the heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. In our industrial world, most wines have become brands, but the wines I love are so much more. Fine wine is a civilizing substance that connects us to nature. It cannot be stamped out in a factory. If you're listening to this great show, you probably eat different. I urge you to drink different too. Go deeper. Cane5.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can check all of our show archives at heritageradionetwork.org. If you're just tuning in live, we're talking all things Thanksgiving today. So, you know, I thought I would go straight to the listeners. I wanted to find out what you guys are preparing and what you're doing for Thanksgiving. So I'm going to run down a few things. I see everyone is doing, you know, pumpkin pie and pecan pie for Thanksgiving. I also see, shout out to Therese Nilsson and Nancy McDermott. Nancy actually has been on the show before. She's the author of Southern Cakes and Southern Pies. So they were having a back and forth conversation on my personal Facebook page about Therese is using some of Nancy's recipes. I just love it. I absolutely love it. And I wonder, I have to ask people, I think desserts are kind of, we like to say turkey is a centerpiece, but I'm gonna have to say I think desserts are, because people get really excited about talking about desserts. I also ask folks about, you know, what is their main centerpiece or protein. I see a smoked turkey. Shannon Musterford, who's been on the show before, she talked about doing quail. Some of my vegetarian folks are doing stuffed butternut squash. What else do we have? I guess I can talk about what I'm having. I'm actually going to do a turkey. I make a compound butter, and I don't do the brine thing. I think I said this last year. I've never tried brining, only because, I don't know, I always feel like I'm in a rush for time, and I really need to be super, super prepared to brine. So anyway, I just do a herb compound butter and put it on the turkey. What are you having, folks? If you're listening live, send me a tweet. I'm at Food Culturist on Twitter, or you can find me on Facebook. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We have the Hot Five Thanksgiving Day Edition.
Just rings and rings. You're listening to Side A of Cry Baby by Cookies on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Today, my show is being engineered by Joe G, and Cane Vineyards and Wine is sponsoring today's program. Let me give a Southern Girls hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Oh, I forgot a few people. Some of my favorite people in the world, what they're having for Thanksgiving. Lynn Pitts, lemon custard tart, sounds so yummy, and a dark chocolate banana cream pie. I totally want to try the dark chocolate banana cream pie, only because I'm not a banana cream pie fan, but the chocolate seems like it would do something great to it. But anywho, here it is, y'all, the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the food world. It's where we dish on the faves. So today I thought I would do a Thanksgiving edition Hot Grease flashback. Can y'all believe that I've done 10 shows over the last 3 years on Thanksgiving? I was really shocked. I know last week Jack was like, yeah, Hot Grease is always doing a Thanksgiving show. So I went back through all 126 shows and I saw that we've done 10 shows. So I thought I would give you five. Five if you're at work right now and you need something to listen to, you can go and go straight to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, put in Hot Grease, and you can put the episode number in. So I'm going to start with number five. Number five is episode 90, where we had The Tipsy Vegan on. The Tipsy Vegan is a book that came out last year with all really a lot of what I liked about the book. My favorite thing is the cocktail recipes in it. All of the recipes had a touch of alcohol or spirits in it. But I think it's perfect if you're looking for a cocktail to serve at the Thanksgiving table. Listen to that episode, episode 90. I think the author's name is John Schmoltz. I'm probably screwing that completely up, but episode 90 of Hot Greased, if you're looking for recipes, particularly drink recipes that have alcohol in them. All right, so that's number five on the Hot Five Hot Greased flashback Thanksgiving. Number four is episode 9. Oh my gosh, episode 9. Psh, that is hilarious. Only because I like to tell people the first dozen shows of Hot Grease were so bad. But you know what? I'm grateful. On that show, I had one of my dear friends in the whole wide world, Stacy West. She came on to talk about Thanksgiving etiquette, like what to do in sticky situations and just general ideas of how to behave and what to do on Thanksgiving. So if you can go back to episode, if you want to go back to episode 9, you can hear what she has to say. And then I had Ula Carvel on the show, someone that I met very early on in transitioning wholeheartedly to the food world. So she came on the show. She talked about her family farm, Spring Lake Farms, and she dished on some of her favorite recipes. So that's episode 9, one of the very, very, if you haven't dug deep into the Hot Grease archives, you can do that by going to episode 9. And of course, that's about Turkey Day. So that is number 4 on the Hot 5. Now, number 3. Number 3, episode 52, foodnetwork.com. I love Food Network. I think a lot of foodie people always try to say, Food Network, wah, 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 wah. They watch. Please, they watch. And so we have the VP of Digital of Food Network, Angela Moore, on the show to talk about the new app. At the time, I think an iPad app was coming out, and talk about foodnetwork.com. And actually, this is a time that they get the most hits right at Thanksgiving. So if you go to their website now, they already have a ton of recipes that are aggregated up to the top. And then you're looking for a recipe or your favorite personality. I love Ina Garten. So I love going on there, seeing what's going on with her. So foodnetwork.com, episode 52 on Hot Grease Heritage Radio Network. This is the Hot Grease Thanksgiving Flashback Hot Five. So number 2 on my list would have to be episode 89. That was last year. So last year around this time, I was on episode 89, and I had my great friend and colleague Shannon Mustardford on, and we talked. I think that show is titled Southern Soul Revival. Shannon is from Charleston by way of Georgia and lives here in Brooklyn. So we talked about what she does for the holidays, growing up in the South, how that influences all her work. And I love, because she talks a lot about, you know, making the quail, and we have this very lively discussion about what's stuffing and what's dressing. I think a lot of people use the word interchangeably, but listening to the show, I think you enjoy it. I am so funny, and I'm talking like I'm not on the radio, which is hilarious. But it's episode 89 on Hot Grease Heritage Radio Network. And by the way, if you guys are saying, gosh, she's calling out these numbers, how am I supposed to do this? You can do it two ways. You can go to heritageradionetwork.org. You can scroll on down like halfway through the page. Click on my photo, and then on the right side, when you go to the page of all the Hot Grease shows, you can literally just pick the number and click on it. You can play it right there, and or you can download it to your iPad, not iPad, or MP3 player, or however you listen to your music. You can do that via iTunes and all that good stuff. Yeah, so that's just a quick way. And lastly, episode or the number 1 on Hot Grease Thanksgiving Flashback. I would say listen to last week's show. It was super good. Listen to last week's show and listen to all the other shows on the network. Put in Thanksgiving in our box search box and discover something new, from our cheese show to our beer show to Patrick Martin's show. Yeah, there you have it, yo. Happy gobble gobble Thanksgiving Turkey Day to all of you guys. I'm sure people are in the kitchen. This is like foodie marathon time. This is when we like run the race. So enjoy, and I will talk with you guys next Monday. Thanks for listening, as always. Remember, you can join me here live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.